Take it
away.
Okay, Barney. Thank you again, brother. I am so sorry that we had a little bit of snafu here. I'm not a real computer guy. I just had my son come and fix it up. But we're good to go, brother. And thank you again, Barney, for the opportunity to share God's word. You and Vicky, thank you so much, man. I am so blessed to do this. And I'd like to share something tonight that it's been on my heart. And I'm sure that we all think about this from time to time. And I'm sure you all thought about it today. And what I'm talking about is getting home. They say getting home is where the heart is. And, you know, last week, Barney shared on a wonderful teaching on heirs of promise and what's been promised to his kids as heirs. So tonight, I'd like to share a little bit what I call getting home and getting home safely. So ask a rhetorical question. I already know the answer to it. So anybody here ever planned a trip in the future? Of course, everybody's planned a trip sometime or another. And we've all experienced planning a trip or a vacation of a particular destination we got to get to, right? Maybe even retirement. Of course, we all got places we got to get to. We got to get to work. We got to get to the store. We got doctor's visits. You name it, we have destinations to get to. After work or a vacation, we all look forward to getting home. There's no place like home. What was it in The Wizard of Oz? Didn't Dorothy say there's no place like home? And we want to get there, but we want to get there safely. You know, when we're traveling, we put on our seatbelts. We make sure that we have all the necessary things to arrive at our destination safely. You might need to prepare for delays or cancellations. All types of stuff can come up. You might take a plane. You might take a train. You might take a car, a bus, or heck, you might even walk. You might ride a bike. There's so many ways to travel. You might need to purchase a ticket, depending upon where you're going. And that's another important element to traveling. You got to know where you're going. You make sure your car's in good shape, right? If you're traveling by car, you ever been in one that's not so reliable for a long distance? That ain't much fun. I'm sure for most of us, we all know what that's like. You might even map out the gas stations along your route. It can be a long way in between stations and say in the desert or in the mountains, even in the city. You need to be prepared for whatever you may encounter. Some may take a plane or we take a train. We got delays. We got cancellations. You know, changing planes or trains in different cities or countries. We might have to get a stamp or a seal on our passport, giving us authority to travel to, you know, a particular country. You got so much crazy chaos going on in the airports and the airlines and the train stations. So we need to pay attention and be aware of where we're going and what's going on around us. Because we just want to get there safely. Now, I know in our everyday-to-day life, our lives might seem to get overwhelmed, distracted, off course, so to speak, and that can make it not so easy to get to where you want to go. Just trying to get there can be a real challenge. But that's the world we live in. It might even seem sometimes, some folks, mundane, boring, repetitive. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat, shower, go to bed. Same thing, day after day, month after month, year after year. But we know that's not what God's word says, and that's not what he wants for us. There's no need to live like that. God has something more in mind for us now and for eternity. He wants us to know what's going on. Like I say, not only now, but what's ahead. I guess I can say he wants us to know our final destination. That's the best way I can describe it. I think for most of us who look at the word of God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, we find so much comfort, rest, peace, I guess, and encouragement in Thessalonians 4:13. You hear it at funerals to comfort grieving families and friends, but you know what? It doesn't only apply there. I love to be reminded of that verse. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall, I love that word shall, it means will, not prevent them which are asleep, but the Lord himself shall, will, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall, or will, be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, guys, I could probably stop right there and not even read anymore, but Paul also gives us a glimpse of what's ahead in 1 Corinthians 15. He tells us a mystery. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall, or we will, not all sleep, but we shall, or we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall or will be raised incorruptible. And we shall, or we will be changed, for this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass, or will be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, guys, we've already arrived. You know, it might seem like a long time to us, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. But then again, that's a short time, too. Let me rewind just a minute. Let me rewind and go back a second here. We know that Romans 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we're going to be saved. For with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness. We know this. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we know that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 tells us, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, guys, there's so many people who don't even know this. And I think sometimes, especially for me, I kind of assume that everybody knows it. And when somebody hears this for the first time, it really blows their mind, man. And once it starts to sink in and hit them. I'm sure we all, when we first heard these and we understood these verses and we started asking questions, and questions are great, man. People will start asking questions once they hear this. And if you don't know, we can say, well, let me help show you what we do know. Don't got all the answers, but I got some answers that we can show you. I know, guys, we all go through our bumps, our trials, our problems, whatever issues this life tries to throw at us. But we have been so blessed to know that we are saved. We got eternal life with our Father and Big Brother and the family of God. So we ask, what about the future? Well, Colossians 3 tells us in verse 1 through 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not the things on earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, I know we're all concerned or curious about our future and what's next. When we close our eyes for the last time and we take our last breath on this planet, we know that our next waking moment will be in the air with all of you and our big brother Jesus Christ. As that's if he doesn't return first. And ain't it such a relief or a comfort, I guess, to know what we know and to have available to us today. Just take a look at, like Barney was talking about all the wonderful teachings and classes and seminars we have. It's so cool to have fellowships like this here to help continue to grow in the Word. Well, I started out with getting there safely. So why don't we all turn to 1 John 3:12. And we all know this. I'm sure we all know this by heart. It says, beloved, now. And I emphasize the word now. Are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Guys, we became sons and daughters of God once, and only once we believed that God raised Jesus up from the dead. Look at Romans 8:15. I notice this is another verse of scripture that we all probably have this decoupaged upon our hearts. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's another wonderful promise. We're heirs, one who shares fully. Bonnie shared so great last week on it. There's another wonderful promise that we are heirs of God. Let's look at Ephesians. Wonderful Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 6. But God, Dick and Vicky, every time I hear this, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together or made us alive with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I love that word hath. It's past tense, already have. We sit in heavenly places now Now, I'm not sure what that looks like, but like that song says, man, I can only imagine. I can just imagine. I think I'd heard this one time before. There's going to be no more pain, sorrow, tears, anxiety, no hurt. Who knows, man? Maybe even when you stub your toe in heaven, it's going to tickle or make you laugh. I know we see everything now through our five senses or through the glass darkly. But now there's a day coming. If Christ doesn't return first, we will take our last breath on this planet. In our next waking moment from our sleep, we'll be with our Lord and family in the air for eternity. And I feel pretty confident saying what Ephesians 1:13 says. It tells me that we've been sealed once we believe with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the token, that small bit of what's ahead. We now have Holy Spirit, guys. We can now operate all nine all the time. Now, today, it's still available. How cool is God? This is an awesome subject and a study and one that I know we all think about. Maybe we're even concerned, so to speak. And guess what? There's even going to be rewards for God's kids, crowns. I mean, it's just a fascinating, fascinating study to go to. It's so cool. It's awesome. It's great. I'm not sure how to describe it, but it's going to be pretty exciting. God gave us this word for a reason. It's to comfort us and to comfort one another, to encourage us and help us fight this spiritual battle that we're going on in our lives. And you know, if the Bible is true, then according to Romans 10, we're saved, we're born again, we belong to God. He's our dad and we're his kids. John 3:16 tells us that we're not going to perish because God so loved us that he gave us his son. And Ephesians says we're already seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are so blessed to have all these resources we have available to us today. No, guys, so I think we can begin to see through God's word that I think we've arrived and we've arrived safely. This study in the subject of eternity, forever, what's next? It's so cool to see the word of God open up and start making sense and to fit. And we can find comfort, encouragement, peace, and rest. And you know, guys, I'd like to close tonight in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 3-4. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. So, guys, that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. Just want to tell you I love you guys, and, you know, thanks for listening, and I'd like to close with a prayer tonight. So, Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for being so, so good to us, and God, I thank you for all you do, all you've done, and you continue to do, and thanks, Father, for calling each one of us by name and for continuing to guide us, Father, to walk with us, to talk with us, and show us things that only you can. And I thank you, Father, for every person on the line tonight. I thank you, God, for their lives, their heart, their health, and the love that they have for you. And, Father, tonight again, I want to lift up our country and our leaders. I thank you, Father, that they can listen to you to make the best decisions, and that they can base their decisions, God, on the truth and the accuracy of your word. Father, just give them the wisdom to make the right decisions to help our country get back on track. And God, once again, we want you to bless our military, our police, our EMTs, all those that are out there in harm's way who stand for you, Father. And God, watch our kids. Father, we know it's a tough out there for them. Just give them the guidance. Keep them in the palms of your hands, Father, and watch over them. So we can't thank you enough, Father. Words, like we say, sometimes they don't even seem enough to express what we want to say. So, God, we just thank you for that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit, for that hope of the return of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for all these things in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen.